Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a multi-million dollar marketing campaign wrapped in an American comic book legend.
You're not just anyone, Clark. You were sent here for a reason.
The fate of your planet rests in your hands.
Man of Steel, the latest blockbuster reboot of the Superman story, opens nationwide today. We'll hear more about the movie in a minute from NPR's pop culture blogger Linda Holmes. But first, we take a look at the movie's marketing machine, which is moving faster than a speeding bullet, but not as fast as the speed with which I will stop throwing out all these awful puns. Joining us now is our media analyst, John Carroll. John, good to see you.
Good to be here.
So, Man of Steel features product placement from Nokia, Chrysler, Sears, not to mention many others. And by the way, are those Clark Kent-inspired Warby Parker glasses you're wearing?
No, they're not, actually. I haven't been able to afford those.
You're not hipster enough, I
guess. Never have been.
Well, outside the movie, there are tie-ins all over the place. Gillette has created a series of videos featuring prominent nerds, including Bill Nye the Science Guy, and they're offering their theories on how Superman shaves, given that steely beard. So here's a little bit of tape. It's the hypothesis from Adam Savage and Jamie Heineman, host of Discovery Channel's Mythbusters.
He could, like, make little pinchers with the fingernails of his hand to pluck the hairs out one by one, like, really fast.
Oh, I got one better. I like that, though. He could have the Large Hadron Collider create tiny wormholes, and they transport one whisker at a time to another universe.
So, John, what's Gillette trying to accomplish here?
Well, they're trying to engage people in these videos. There's four of them, and what they're asking is for viewers who watch them on YouTube to vote on which theory they think is the most plausible one and the best one. There's been a little kerfuffle because people are saying, we know how Superman shaves. He shaves with his heat vision and a mirror.
Beware the purists,
yeah,
right?
But Gillette's gotten 2.5 million views of these videos, so I think they're probably pretty happy with how this is working out.
But, John, a lot of movies have both product tie-ins and product placement directly in the film. I mean, you can't go through 5 minutes of a recent James Bond film without seeing actor Daniel Craig looking down at his watch. And then we get a super close-up of the watch. And the latest Great Gatsby film inspired a line of jewelry from Tiffany's and a new collection from Brooks Brothers. So what's new with Man of Steel?
The difference is the sheer tonnage of tie-ins. They have roughly 100 global promotional partners who are ponying up about $170 million. That is basically two-thirds of the budget for making Man of Steel. Dark Knight Rises, the Batman movie from last year, they had about $150 million in promotional support. So Man of Steel is really sort of setting new standards.
New standards, okay, including super bacon cheeseburgers from Carl's Jr.
Right.
And a Chrysler sweepstakes giving away two Superman cars, quote, imported from Metropolis, a play on their imported from Detroit tagline. Do you have any sense that this might backfire? Because it is so ubiquitous, this marketing.
Well, there's a couple of areas where it could fall short. I mean, one is the movie's gotten pretty lukewarm reviews so far. So if people are disappointed in the movie, maybe they don't want to go out and buy Keebler cookies and enter a contest that has to do with Man of Steel. The other is that these things can sort of blur together so that it's harder and harder for the marketers to keep these promotional tie-ins straight. And the other could be just promotional fatigue. It's all over the place now. We'll see what the wear-out factor is as we go along.
There have been examples in the past where it has backfired and people did get tired of it or thought that the marketing had gone too far.
Right. The Lorax had 70 promotional partners, which was a high watermark up until Man of Steel came along. Their particular problem was who they were tied in with. They were tied in with a Mazda SUV. Now, the Lorax is saving trees, right? And so what you've got is a Mazda SUV that's Lorax approved in commercials. So people were sensitive to that. And the over-commercialization, because the Lorax is aimed at kids, that became a much more sensitive point, too. I don't think that part of it will be a problem for Man of Steel, but I think that there are potential pitfalls to it.
Well, John Carroll is a mass communication professor at Boston University. You'll find a link to his Campaign Outsider blog at our website, hereandnow.org. John, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
So that's the marketing side of things, but what about the actual movie? Man of Steel isn't Superman's first cinematic makeover. He's been transformed countless times over the past 75 years on television, film, and even the stage. Joining us now to talk about how the movie fits into the larger Superman story is NPR's Linda Holmes, host of the pop culture blog Monkey See. Linda, great to have you back on Here and Now.
Oh, thank you.
So Man of Steel sounds like a grittier, angrier version of Superman than we've seen. We've got a clip from the movie, and here's Superman punishing his foe, General Zod.
My parents taught me to hone my senses, Zod. Focus on just what I wanted to see. Without your helmet, you're getting everything. And it hurts, doesn't it?
So, Linda, that's an intense Superman. You've seen the movie. What do you think?
It is a more somber and somewhat angrier version of Superman. I think that's very fair to say. It's certainly not the kind of playful Superman of the Christopher Reeve movies or the sort of bantering Clark Kent that they put in the Lois and Clark TV series in the late 90s. This is a darker story.
Well, you mentioned Lois and Clark, and that, of course, was the TV series from the 1990s.
Why won't you talk to me?
What is there to talk about, Lois? I asked you to marry me. You said no.
I didn't say never.
Because you found out something about me that you just don't like.
No, that's not true.
I mean,
how am I
supposed to say that? I cannot change who I am, and I can't change what I've done.
So, Linda, a really different type of Superman here on the small screen.
It was very much in the era of TV romantic comedies, Moonlighting, and even stuff like Remington Steele and those older ones. It was really about their relationship and them bantering back and forth, and Superman was a little bit less central.
Yeah. Well, as everyone, of course, already knows, Superman first came out of comic books. How do comic book lovers feel about this new Man of Steel?
Comic book lovers are more accustomed than you might think to seeing different things done with a character like this. He's died, he's gotten married, he's had different jobs. Many things have happened to him. He's been drawn different ways depending on who's in charge. But they are very protective of certain things. I think there are going to be people who think this doesn't capture the humor that has often been present in at least some of the Superman character, and I think there will be people who find it too dark in a couple ways that I don't address too specifically, but I think there will be people who will take exception to a couple of the interactions that he has with villains and things like that, but they are ready for Superman to be a lot of different things.
Well, listeners, not to worry, no spoilers here, but we can't have this conversation about Superman without talking about the other major character in the story, and that is, of course, Lois Lane, who began as a hard-charging reporter. Now, here she is, played by Phyllis Coates in the first season of The Adventures of Superman, the 1952 television series.
How come you found the man behind the hangar at just the right moment to get his exclusive story when every top experienced reporter in the business was breaking his neck?
Or her neck.
Or her neck to get that story.
Maybe I'm a Superman, Miss Lane.
So, Linda, that's not exactly a Lois Lane for the 21st century, is it?
No, and she, like Superman, Lois has taken a lot of different forms at different times. My friend Glenn Weldon just wrote a book about a cultural history of Superman, and one of the things that he talks about is before World War II, she was more of a strict reporter type. And then after World War II, they moved into the 50s, they made her more traditional, what you would think of as a 50s housewife, almost. Mm-hmm. And she was much more focused on romance and hearts over her head and things like that. And now they've pretty much returned her to a little more serious journalism. And in this movie, she is a serious reporter and a serious person. And they make some choices about how to build that relationship that make it a little easier to respect her.
Well, that's NPR's Linda Holmes, host of the Monkey See blog. Linda, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Now, if you've got thoughts on The Man of Steel or anything else you hear on this super show, go to facebook.com/hereandnowradio. And while you're there, you can see a video of me sampling Soylent, that food substitute we were talking about earlier. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Robin Young is back on Monday. Have a great weekend and join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.